B-Pod Studios.
Zolek and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand from Warriors. Zoe's out today. Got Hardy sliding over. Mike O'Brien on the headlines. One quick mention of this, Hardy. Did you see that there's a new tick that is expanding into our vicinity?
I did see this. I haven't had a chance to read up on it yet. I know what kind of tick I was dealing with. I have done the research myself, consulted Dr. Google. I know what I'm dealing with. I know that what I'm hoping for and what I'm preparing for, Beetle. But go ahead and talk about this new tick if you want to.
Well, there's a Lone Star tick, a tick that is distinguished by a white dot on the back of the female of the species.
Yep.
It's been commonly found in the South. Global warming has made more regions tick-friendly. And so this particular tick is now moving north. The warmer temperatures have extended the active season, and now we've got another tick that we're going to have to deal with.
This one,
however, will not carry Lyme disease, but they do carry the bacteria that causes southern tick-associated rash illness or Starry, a rash similar to Lyme disease that also comes with fever, fatigue, headache, and muscle pain.
It can also make you allergic to meat.
That's an odd side effect.
A woman here says she went into anaphylactic shock and later learned because of the tick bite, she was allergic to meat. It injects a carbohydrate called alpha-gal, something found in most mammals but not in humans. That's what reacts with the victim's system when meat from mammals is ingested.
Wow. That's a horrible one. That's a bad one.
Could you imagine?
Dan, we bring this up because Hardy is recuperating from a tick bite.
We hope, you know, and we got another day or two of, you know, just watching and waiting, Dan, hoping for the best, preparing for the worst. That's all you can do at a time like this. A horrible tick on my leg. I'm glad you find it so amusing.
So please send your thoughts and prayers.
Well, you get a lot of programming out of it, so those, you know.
Luckily for us, it happened on a slow day.
Yeah, Zoe loves stuff like that, too.
Yeah, he does.
He would
love nothing more than for that thing to fester and I'd have to squeeze a lot of pus out of it.
David's in Florida. He had a Red Sox thought from our previous conversation. Hi, David.
Greetings, Dan. Thanks for talking with me. You know, I'm the guy who's been sending you all those emails in response to your article, you know, about
It's a big club. Which article?
One of thousands, my friend.
No, about many of them. But first of all,
thank you.
I'll start with Bogaerts and his partner in crime, Devers. Is there anybody in this world, and I hope you agree with me, is there anybody out there who thinks that Bogaerts is so one-dimensional and is just a moron on the baseball play defensively? And I would love to see them make a blockbuster trade to get some high-level pitching for either Bogaerts or Devers.
Rafael Devers is his name, Devers. And no.
I can't tell where you are on Bogaerts.
He's down on Bogaerts.
Are you down on Bogaerts?
Yeah, he thinks he's bad defensively. Thinks that defensively he's not.
He's average.
He's not an intelligent defender.
He's got that goofy thing where he hesitates to throw. He's average.
Yeah, he does. He has like that double clutch.
Takes
thing
too
that he
long
does.
On too many plays. He makes it more close than it needs to be. But I mean, I love Bogaerts. To me, he's as solid as you can get. I think he's day in and day out kind of their best player. I know Betts are below Betts, but Bogaerts is a shortstop. He's a big guy. He's got surprising power, and he is, you know, he has caught up to Correa and Lindor is next, and he's really established himself. He's won two championships here. He's like 27 years old. He took a contract, you know, good team contract, and then had a better year, which no one does. I'm all in on him.
Pete's in Ohio on the NBA tournament. Hi, Pete.
Hey, boys. Happy Thursday. How you doing? Hey, real quick for Hardy.
Yeah.
It was an egregious call with in a hockey game, I guess, I want to say against Columbus, where the puck hit the net. I can't remember which side of it, but that's a pretty egregious call, I thought. But
T-Bone brought that up, yeah. The puck went into the side of the net, I think. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. Did they disallow a goal? Or did
No. I know what you're talking about. The puck that went off the net.
The
netting above the boards.
Correct.
Oh, in the Bruins game in the playoffs last year?
Yes.
Not as bad as LeBron.
No.
It's
just a missed call. Bad calls happen all the time.
I have a stupid hockey question. Can I ask? Oh, when you get done with yours, I'll do mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so the NBA tournament, the midseason tournament, they floated something with baseball. Dan, did you remember hearing about that? It's something to do with the record in the second half of the season.
They did it in 1981 accidentally during the strike. There was a 50-day strike in the middle of the season, so they took the first half champion, and then they resumed in like August. They played the second half season, and they designed the playoffs accordingly, and it was stupid.
Really?
Yeah, there were teams that, Baltimore ended up winning more games than anybody and didn't get the postseason because they won neither half. Yes.
Oh, wow.
That I don't like, but what I do like about it was like Cincinnati Reds had a great second half season a couple of years ago and had nothing to show for it.
I understand.
Because they're not going to make the playoffs at all, but it would give that market at least a shot at I think that they also brought up maybe a second or a third wild card game or a short series. I don't remember how they pitched it, but that was my phone call. That's all I got, guys.
Okay.
Have a good one.
I don't like it. It's contrived, but they did again. It was done by necessity, and it failed in my view the year that they did do it. My hockey question. I love when Chris talked about the guy knocking the goal off, which I could see a guy. Oh no, they're coming at me. Let's knock the goal off.
Yeah,
love that. But and this is really stupid. But there's been a commercial. It's over the years, the big commercial with. Was it? Is it a big whale that's in the net? It's in one of those Geico commercials. It's a giant animal, larger than the net. But has anyone tried like a large human? Like would there be any upside to that?
Really fat guy.
For what?
Like a morbidly obese, like 600-pound person in goal.
Exactly. Six bills, strap them up. Are there any rules,
Not that I know of.
I know mobility would be an issue, but at some point, the coverage seems to me would make up for the mobility. I'm just wondering.
There was a move toward this, I think, at some point.
Dude, do you know how big that net is?
Well, taller goalies became the thing for a while.
We need width.
Yeah, Dominic Hasek.
You're not going to find. I mean, I guess you're going somewhere.
How much space between the pipes? So you're saying, and again, I know there'd be a mobility issue, skating, etc. But if you could get the person could really take up almost all the space.
72 inches wide.
All right, that would take two of them.
Right, and the pads can only be so big. So
it's
even
6 feet wide.
Even if you've got a big fat leg, you can't have a pad bigger than 70, everyone else's pad.
6 feet wide. There's no human.
It's too much.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, it was a good idea, though.
I withdraw the question.
This reminds me of my campaign.
You should vet your questions in your head before you ask.
No, I've done this.
It's organic radio.
This is not a brainstorming.
Well, you've said here. I've done this. I did this with Friedel. I've done it with coaches before in soccer. I'm like, why do your keepers always commit to one side on a penalty kick? Why don't they just stand in the middle? And or better yet, if you're taking a penalty kick, why don't you just kick it down the middle? Because the keepers always jump to one side or the other. I think he's going to go left. But at the last second, I'm going to jump right. And he actually said, sometimes there are guys who will just go straight up the middle and try and put like a little bit of loft on it.
Yeah.
But no bad ideas in brainstorming,
okay.
Dan.
All right. Anyway,
big fat goalies.
Yeah. Let's get to the action update. More with Dan Shaughnessy is on the way, including the rejoin, the Mitch Miller and the Gang inspired Sounds of Sunday song. We'll play that for Dan now.
Zillak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub presents Zillak and Bertrand's Sounds of Sunday. again, everyone. A very pleasant good evening, and welcome to NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas.
Just hear those voices of players and coaches and announcers, too. Solak and Bertrand are playing the sounds of Sunday for you. Outside, you hear the dames and kids all call your name. Daddy, you can tell them all pipe down. It's time for Sounds of Sunday.
What do you think of that, Dan Johnson?
I like that.
I need 30 more guys, but otherwise, spot on. 30 more angry dudes in skinny dark ties.
This is the season, man.
All wearing glasses, shouting on risers.
Yes, yes, yes.
A lot of goatees.
A lot of guys in glasses in that game. Is that right?
There were no contacts.
If you needed
help, you were wearing glasses. Everyone wore the same suit and the same tie, same shoes.
Good posture. They're very robust.
Yeah.
They're manly men.
That's nice. Yeah. It's very nice.
All wearing Florsheim Imperials.
Yeah.
Black laces.
Oh, Sunday. 617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Yep.
Let's go to Mike in Waltham. Hi, Mike.
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. I got a couple of quick questions for you, and you guys can all hang up and you guys can talk about it. Question number one is a comparison between this egregious LeBron James travel, and I wanted to hear your take on comparing that to the missed call on last year's Game 5 slew foot on, I think, Achari. And my other question is, in basketball, it seems like our team is built for the regular season, and I kind of wanted to see your take on, Tice gets really dominated by the top centers in the league, and I wanted to kind of, you guys to get some dialogue going on, why Robert Williams is getting less than 20 minutes a game, and how we can sustain Tice into the playoffs. Thanks, guys.
Okay, a lot there.
Well, Tice was held back to seven minutes the other night, and that was a message there. I see a forward. I mean, you know, I think he's out of position, but I don't expect beyond what they get from him. I mean, going into the season, they knew they were short at that position, literally and figuratively.
Sounds like he has a lot of stock in Williams.
Evidently, he does. I can't say I've seen enough to know that.
Yeah, I don't know that, you know, that that's going to make things all that better, but he's putting a lot of stock. The other part, I would not compare the LeBron travel to just any blown call.
No. It's in a league of its own, kind of.
Like, I get it. That slew foot was bad. It was missed. It was brutal. But I don't know. We're talking about a sport that's not moving very fast. The guy's literally walking, and he's by himself. He doesn't have any other players within 10 feet of him. And so there's not a lot happening while they blow that call. Like, what else?
And the other comparisons, like when Achari got slew-footed, that, you could argue, directly resulted in a goal that, you know, changed the game.
Sure.
This didn't change anything. This really didn't have any bearing on the play or anything else.
No, it didn't change the game, didn't change the outcome, didn't have any bearing. It doesn't, the big grand scheme doesn't even matter.
This is LeBron just, you know, demonstrating once again, he can just do whatever he wants. And when he's called out for it occasionally, when he does get called for a foul or a travel, he acts like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? I can do no wrong. Now, he did make mention of it, not only during the game, but in the post game, where he said, yeah, I can't even believe it. It's the worst travel I've ever committed. I didn't even know I'd done it. That's where I don't believe him. How do you not know what you're doing in that moment? Especially when the guy up there to guard you is yelling at the ref, like, look what happened. People are losing their minds all over the arena, and he didn't even know he did it until he saw the tape. Stop it with that.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me that much. I remember Bill Russell in the old days when there wasn't a lot of pressure, like baseline to baseline defense. Like after a make, everybody just go back. There was a lot of, you know, just pounding up court, bringing it up casually. And Russell after the make would take it out of the bottom of the hoop. And, you know, there were times he didn't actually go out of bounds to inbound it. You know, he just kind of lazily just kind of shovel it to Sam Jones, whatever, without doing the effort of getting out of bounds and getting it up there. That used to happen. This reminds me of that. Like you say, it doesn't change anything. It's just they're just not calling it to the letter of the law, and it didn't really impact the play.
Derek in Saugus on the Bruins. Hey, Derek.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Just a subtle observation that I've noticed between the Bruins last year and this year, and that is their use of the point. Last year, there was like an utter refusal to use the point and get shots from the blue line, and it was 100% like cycling by the half board, making plays behind the net. But getting the puck to the point was only done if absolutely nothing else was available. This year, their willingness to use the point is more consistent, and shots from the blue line are creating way more opportunities for them. So despite it being a small adjustment that they've made, I think it's a large part of why you're seeing such a better team out there this year and why they're off to a hot start.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it seems like I've seen it more too, and especially utilizing Chara and his shot. You know, they've scored on that this year where you've got a guy with the hardest shot in the league and either the ability to get it past a goalie or what still amazes me maybe more than anything else in any sport is the ability for a guy standing in front seemingly just throwing a screen up in front of the opposing goaltender but can actually deflect one of those Chara shots. I love seeing it too. And, you know, for as much as we say, oh, just throw pucks on that, well, sometimes that's actually going to do your team a disservice and it can start a break going the other way. But if it's a shot from the point and you've got guys in position to do something with any rebounds or any pucks that might be coughed up, absolutely. And then you've got guys, too. I wouldn't even call this a shot from the point, but Pasternak's goal the other night, when he got the puck into the zone, either himself or it was passed in, he was the first one in, but he just stopped and instead of continuing toward the net, just took the shot from a ways out. When you've got a shot like his and you can do it that hard and you can you're feeling it to the extent where he is now, absolutely. Take that shot every single time. But that's a guy with 25 goals on the season already. Just as a general rule, I love those shots from the point. And if they are doing it more, yeah, I would say it has a lot to do with their success. Dan's distracted right now, Beetle, because I pulled up the
science,
the sports science of putting a sumo wrestler in net, and
didn't work, did it?
No, I mean that's a big fella.
Yeah,
and
you're right though, 72 inches wide, he looks really small.
Yeah, the problem is that, and here's what you may not know, Dan, the puck is very small, right? So it's just
fit in your hand.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I wish the people could see this guy.
Harry and Swan. Has a tick. Hey, Harry.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, well, Artie, listen. Yeah. I was in Panama City down in Florida, and I'm at the beach. And I didn't notice anything, and swimming, beautiful beach. Anybody wants to go, Panama City Beach in Florida. But it's northern Florida, and there's deers in this area. So basically, I go home that night, and I stop, you know, sweating. And I start talking, and the problem is, when I started talking, I started talking like this because my tongue blew up.
Yes.
So I had a tongue blowing up. I had sweats coming down. I looked at the tick, and the tick
was on your tongue.
Had a star around it. It was a rash that was like a star. So unless your tongue blows up like a pillow, and you sweat like a sloth.
Yeah,
I think you're pretty clear.
Okay,
you didn't think you had a Lone Star tick.
No,
that was never a question here.
You and I,
we just happened to mention that
consulting Dr. Google. You tried to get me off the deer tick thing, but that thing looks like a deer tick.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
I mean, hard to say because your pictures weren't great,
but it's in a weird angle, and I was scrambling. You know,
I
was trying to get some pre-op photos done before I, you know,
went digging at that thing.
This is the home of the Bruins.
For the Bruins.
Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app. We'll be right back.
Belgar Mass coming up at 2 p.m. today. They're on the road today, doing a road broadcast. They're going to be at the Seaport as they do their live broadcast. Seaport Hotel, 2 to 6:30 today for Christmas in the City. The annual wreath auction for Christmas in the City happens after that. And help Felger Maz as they help Christmas in the City this holiday season. Christmas in the City gives Christmas gifts to thousands of Boston children that are currently homeless. So Felger Maz are not only doing their show there today, but they're collecting toys and monetary donations. 2 to 6:30 today at the Seaport Hotel. And then on Saturday, they will be at Newbury Comics at the Natick Mall from 1 until 3 p.m. You can also go to our website, 985thesportshub.com. And bid in the online auction. Great items that are up there for bid right now. The bidding will close at 6 p.m. tomorrow. 6 p.m. on Friday, that closes. So help Felger Maz and Christmas in the City make a difference for thousands of children in the Boston area this holiday season. Dan Shaughnessy is with us, 617-779-0985. It's getting colder in here.
Oh, yeah.
Temperature's dropping.
Oh, yeah.
Bruins are done for the day.
I just saw you with the hood up. Okay, now that's bordering on the ridiculous.
You like that?
It's a bit much.
It's nice. A bit much.
I went and I said, give me a little raccoon on there if you could. A little something on the hood. It's synthetic for all you PETA folks, in case you're wondering.
A raccoon.
Thanks for clearing that
give
up.
Me a little raccoon there if you could. A little something there around the neck and around the hood. 617-779-0985. We got full lines.
Nice. That.
Full lines for Dan Shaughnessy, including Tom in Norwich on Tom Brady. Hi, Tom.
Yes. Hi. It's great talking to Dan, Hall of Famer. I appreciate it very much to be able to talk to you. I have two questions. One of them is, Dan, is I think hockey is the toughest sport to get to the championship of the Big Four, and football being the easiest. I hope you agree. And the other thing is, I think Tom Brady is the third greatest quarterback of all time, because Bart Starr won 7 championships, 5 in the NFL and 2 Super Bowls, and Otto Graham is 6-1. Now, Tom Brady is great, no doubt about it, but he's also 6-3.
Very good perspective there. I'm not going to disagree with a smart guy. He said nice things about me.
Yeah. And that's all it takes.
I can't speak to Bart Starr. I can't speak to Wilt Chamberlain.
He was a game manager.
I can't speak to Bill Russell, you know? And anytime these conversations like go to, like, you know, one of those, forgive the phrase, but old standbys,
yeah.
I don't know.
Otto Graham's a tough one.
Yeah, and even Bill Russell, who may very well be. Yeah. You tell me, Dan, was he better than Jordan, LeBron?
No, Chamberlain was.
Chamberlain was.
Yeah, in my view. Yes. He averaged 50 points a game.
Was the game different in any way?
It was a lot more low
post game. Was the competition different in any way?
Yeah, there was some of that, but the people were the same size. I mean, he was, you know, I mean, Nate Thurmond, and he was playing against Bill Russell. He had competition, in my view. Walt Bellamy, whatever. But, I mean, he didn't have the floor game, the skill set, go to
right.
the basket. You know,
right.
LeBron is built like Chamberlain, but he's 5 inches shorter, and, you know, he's very complete.
Exactly.
I'll give you that. I always think Jordan gets a little bit overrated, the whole thing.
Really?
I do. Yeah.
What part of his game was missing?
Well, I mean, he's top three, but I don't have him one.
Who do you have as one?
Chamberlain.
Wow.
Yeah. Chamberlain, LeBron, Jordan for me.
Okay.
And Magic better than Larry. Sorry. That one's easy for me, and I love Larry, but he just was.
Magic was special.
Yeah, he just was. Yeah, they, you know, 6'9" point guard can do everything, and they said, oh, there'll be a million of these. There was never another one.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Moose is in Middleboro. Hi, Moose.
Hey, guys. I got two quick things. One, there's two significant missed calls on the LeBron play. Obviously, the travel. But he stops and picks up his dribble, walks 3 steps, and then dribbles again.
Yes, double dribble.
Not only did they miss the traveling, they missed the double dribble.
Yeah. I thought of that,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Blown twice.
Yeah, but he had already had a violation that wasn't called. Why call the second one?
0-2. 0-2. Yeah. Mike is in Virginia Beach on LeBron. Hey, Mike.
Mike.
Hey, sorry, guys. Hey, I just think the whole LeBron celebrating the block is kind of a same D-badgery that you see when a defense gets a turnover and they have to all run to the end zone and take a picture. Is it just me, or is that just, like, the worst?
No, I don't think it's the worst. I'm not all that offended by it. He shouldn't be out on the court. I mean, I get that. Hardy is right about that. What are you doing on the court? Get off the court.
No business out there cheering and going nuts, and you get a couple of blocks. And some people seem to have more of an issue of it because his shoes were off. The fact is, he gave his shoes to a kid. So that part of it I don't mind. You're not in the play. You're not in the game. You shouldn't be on the court. What are you doing out there?
Yeah. But again, if he had that same celebration right in front of his bench, would it be a big deal?
No. Okay. And I think there's something to be said for being on the sideline and being with some other guys who are kind of encroaching. But he's past the sideline. He's on the baseline. He's in the on the court in play in the end where the play is taking place. Get the hell out of there.
We got one more minute before we get to Dan's dates. Paulie's in the truck. Paulie.
Danny, unbelievable that article yesterday. You reestablish your dominance in your department, man. You show why, this is your time and your king here with an article like
another
that.
Another guy
that
not going to disagree with you.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. They go out to Cincinnati. Yeah, the cherry on top of the cake.
He gets
unreal.
To say that. No one's realized that.
But what's going on with Velder here? Why did we pick him up when he came out of retirement? And is he still out there? Why didn't they bring him in?
Are you talking about Veldier? Jared Veldier?
Yeah, the offensive lineman.
I'll tell you why. So he's out of retirement, but the Patriots put him on IR before the season started, and they already brought back two players from IR. So even if he wanted to play for the Patriots this season, he can't.
Oh, I see. Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much.
Well, now you know. Doesn't that suck? But now the guy wants to play?
Right.
Patriots make an effort. They sign into a very... very good contract, I thought. They gave him some money in the offseason. And then he decides, summer rolls around. I don't want to play. I don't want to go through training camp. I don't want to go through all that, I'm going to retire instead.
Yep, so be
it. And then come December, I think I do want to play, and I'm healthy, so release me so I can go find a job. What is that? Very disappointing. And the Patriots can't bring him back even if they wanted to. He was IR'd here.
Yeah.
They already brought back two IR'd players. It's over. Yep. Dan Shaughnessy is with us, and Dan's dates are coming up next. I know of at least one today that's a good one.
Good, because I need help.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Dan is saying this is a bad Dan's dates.
You're wrong. I think it's going to be great. Right,
help me out.
Coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us here at Warrior. It's time now for Dan's Dates. Go ahead, Dan.
December 5th. Not so good.
Good in that it's lacking dates, or bad things happen today?
It's more the former, lacking dates. So there were some bad things, too, though, in fairness.
Oh, good.
People that are born on this date, Little Richard is 87 today. Calvin Trillin, the great author, is 84 today. Jim Messina, as we talked about.
Of Loggins and
how old
Messina.
Do you think he is, Hardy?
68.
He's 72, Loggins and Messina. He did not record The Heat Goes On, although it sounds like him. I've always confused him with that. Jim Plunkett is 72 today. He is the answer to a great trivia question. Do you want to know it, Beatles?
Yes.
Colleges or universities that have represented a U.S. president and a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Stanford is one, and that would be Elway and Plunkett, along with Herbert Hoover.
What's the question?
The college can claim among its...
Okay. What college?
A Super Bowl-winning quarterback and a U.S. president. You should know one of them. It's the easiest one ever. What college has both? A president and a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Well, that would be Michigan, Hardy.
Oh, Gerald Ford.
Thank you very much. Oh. And Stanford, I just gave you another one.
Okay.
You want the other two?
Sure.
One is impossible to get.
This is a good question.
The other is the Naval.
I apologize for questioning you on
Naval
this.
Naval Academy has Roger Staubach and Jimmy Carter.
Of course.
And the fourth one no one ever gets is Miami of Ohio, which has Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh.
And a dead president that I can't name. It's one of the Taylors or somebody who did nothing. But anyway, you can win a lot of bets with that one.
You can.
Okay. Art Monk is 62 today.
You can just take the money off the people after they die of boredom midway through
question.
The answer.
You're wrong.
You win a lot of money.
It's a good question. People like that question.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Christian Yelich is 28 today. Mozart died on this date in 1791.
Well.
Did Salieri kill him, or was he just
I don't know.
Culpable in his
death? He was only 35. He did a lot. A short amount of time.
Sure did.
He really did. 1901, Walt Disney was born on this date in Chicago. On this date in 1456, this goes to your point earlier, Hardy, Beetle. There was a bad earthquake in Naples. 35,000 were killed in Naples in 1456. Had to be a bad one. 1848, President James Polk triggered the gold rush of 49 by confirming that gold had indeed been discovered in California.
When he said there's gold in them thar hills.
Yes.
Yes.
Led to a team name. Who knew? On this date in 1933, Prohibition came to an end. That's kind of a biggie. I mean, I would have to say.
That's a big one.
Yeah, you're right.
Utah, we're all drinking.
Utah became the 36th state to ratify
for
the
men who enjoy the drink, right?
Yeah, I got to admit, that's a goodie. On this date in 2002, Strom Thurmond, the oldest longest-serving senator in history, celebrated his 100th birthday on Capitol Hill. The U.S. senator was 100. He'd be a youngster now, all the guys we got going on up there. Nelson Mandela died on this date in 2013, December 5th. 1 year ago, the funeral for George H.W. Bush was held at the National Cathedral in Washington.
That was a year ago?
I know.
Seems like longer.
I know. It's weird, yeah. Yep.
The trains, remember the train and all that?
Amazing.
On this date in 2011, Terry Francona was hired by ESPN to replace Bobby Valentine, who had replaced Terry Francona as manager of the Red Sox.
Ah.
Little known parody there. Worked out well for both. On this date in 2001, Ocean's 11 was premiered. That
Very
would be
good.
The first one, I guess. Which we had a lot of star power. On this date in 1973, Band on the Run was released by Paul and Linda McCartney. And that's how bad these dates are.
Can I give you another couple of more items?
Yeah,
another Paul McCartney item. On this date in 1960, Paul McCartney and original Beatles drummer Pete Best were deported from Germany after being arrested for lighting condoms on fire inside their van.
Scoundrels.
They were using them for lighting, and then they got charged with arson for trying to light their own van on fire, according to the authorities there. They kicked them out of Germany.
They were lighting condoms?
Condoms.
For illumination purposes?
Because in a dark van, they used them as like a wick, something to light on fire. And Pete Best said that you should know that they were not used. They were clean and out of the package. They were using them as...
They deserve to go away for stupidity.
They kicked him out of the country. Movies? You just had a movie release on this date. Good Will Hunting was released on this date.
That's big.
Starring, of course, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Robin Williams. This tweet from Only in Boston today. It grossed over $225 million during its theatrical run. And it was made on a $10 million budget.
Wow.
That's a good deal.
And won the Oscar for Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Yes, and it was nominated for 9 Academy Awards.
Did Robin Williams win the Oscar for that?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. I think he was nominated. Anything, Hardy?
Yes. An aircraft squadron disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle. Five U.S. Navy Avenger torpedo bombers comprising Flight 19 take off on a routine 3-hour training mission. They never returned.
Wow.
And there's something else creepy on this date. The Mary Celeste, a ship whose crew mysteriously disappeared, is spotted at sea.
Ooh.
This happened near the Azores. This is back in 1872. Ship was fully provisioned. The sails were up. Not a trace of the crew was found.
Dan?
What do you mean spotted later?
A small British brig under Captain David Morehouse spotted the Mary Celeste, an American vessel sailing erratically but at full sail near the Azores. Ship was fine. The supplies untouched. Nobody was on board. They never found out what happened.
That's creepy.
Ooh.
How about that?
By the way, Robin Williams did win for Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, good.
And it was Ben and Matt Damon who won for Original Screenplay.
Pretty good.
All right, another movie released on this date, Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, that's a good one.
Missed that one. We listened to The Heat Is On earlier.
Oh, that's right. Ties in. All comes in together.
There it is. There's Axel's theme.
Wow. What about when he's checking into the Beverly Hills
Hotel there? As soon as you said it, I started.
Yeah, it's a good scene.
I know what's going on here.
And I was going to write an article called Michael Jackson is sitting on top of the world, but I might as well call it sitting on top of the world, but as long as he doesn't sit in the lobby of the Beverly Hills Hotel.
If Michael calls, tell him I'm here.
Yeah.
That was
a bad one today, too. Do you know who Doug Hopkins is, Beetle?
Doug Hopkins?
Yes. Yeah, no. Rings a bell, doesn't it?
I'm thinking of who that is.
Guitarist from the Gin Blossoms. He took his own life today.
Damn.
And this was right when the band was breaking big, but they had to kick him out of the bag. The band is his alcoholism was so rampant that he couldn't perform anymore. He couldn't function. But he wrote some of the band's biggest songs, including "Hey Jealousy."
Brian Bell tells me that the construction scene in Good Will Hunting was filmed at our building.
Yes,
on Morrison Boulevard.
Well, it's a deconstruction scene.
Yeah.
They are taking down the building. Charlie, the engineer over there, is nodding his head.
What do you know about this, Charlie? Where's your microphone?
I've heard that.
You won't get on the mic. But they were the building they were demolishing was making way for the building that we're in now. Not the Warrior Ice Arena, but the one where the sports.
Our building was built in the 90s.
The building
we're in?
Yeah.
It's what? Now you get to talk.
It's an old one, but it's still part of the original. It's like they
rehabbed the building.
It opened in 99.
So they gutted that building. It's originally an old building that they gutted.
Yeah, next to the old Channel 56 and the old Globe.
I was going to say I'd be surprised to learn that place was built in the 90s. I'd be surprised.
I was there for the reopening in 99.
The reopening?
Yes.
So it was an existing building that was rehabbed.
Yeah, it was brand new when I got there.
Well, brand new versus
brand new renovated.
An old building that was renovated. Two different things.
Felt brand new to me.
It looks like 1999 in there.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Anything else, Artie?
Nope, that's it.
All right, Dan.
All right, we'll see you in the new building next week.
Where they filmed Good Will Hunting. Now I want to go back and watch that scene.
I don't know if you can tell. I don't know if you'll be able to.
You never know. Have you seen it? Have you looked at it closely? Can you tell that it's our building?
Yeah, Tom can tell right away.
Really?
How?
He just pulled it up on YouTube. He said, look it, that's our building.
I don't know that I trust that. Send me the link, Tom. We'll take a look at it.
Just send your picture.
Thank you. We'll take a look at that, and we'll give you our professional opinion. I trust Tom on this. Let's get to headlines.
Wow, Dan's gone.
90
seconds.
He's
down the stairs.
Out. He's long gone. 90 seconds, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.